Good morning, church. We're going to do one of my favorite songs this morning, if you can stand and sing with me. We're going to do each part twice, and then we're going to do the sopranos. After we get the basses in, we're going to do the sopranos once. I don't know if everybody remembers us learning this song, but it is one of my absolute favorite songs. And then after we do the bass, sopranos sing one verse, and then we're going to do everybody together. Let's go. He has done marvelous, he has done marvelous things. Praise the Lord. He has done marvelous, he has done marvelous things. Praise the Lord. He has done marvelous, he has done marvelous things. Praise the Lord. He marvelous, 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 marvelous things. Praise the Lord. Tenors, he's done marvelous, he has done marvelous things. Praise the Lord. He has done marvelous, he has done marvelous things. Praise the Lord. Basses. He has done marvelous, he has done marvelous things. Praise the Lord. He has done marvelous, he has done marvelous things. Praise the Lord. Just sopranos. He has done marvelous, he has done marvelous things. Praise the Lord, everyone. He has done marvelous, he has done marvelous things. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please bow with me. Thank you, Lord, for letting us gather together today, not to come to a building, Lord, but to gather as a people. Wherever two or more of your people are together, Lord, there you are with us. And today we pray that as we fellowship, as we worship, as we gather together, we focus on you, we focus on worshiping and singing. And although our harmonies may not be fully there, Lord, sometimes we're learning these new songs and sometimes I throw a wrench in there, but Lord, we're just thankful that we're singing to you and focusing on your message. So as we praise, as we enjoy worshiping and learning and listening, we just pray that we focus on your message. We focus on you. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name.
Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name.
Amen. Let's take a moment to look around the room here and greet one another, meet with another, love one another.
I want to encourage everyone to make their way back to their seats. Make sure everybody say hi to Donna this morning and wish her a happy birthday. Today's Donna's birthday. We want to make sure we wish her happy birthday today. As most of you know, Steve Kenny and Leslie, their plan is to transition back to Indianapolis next summer. And so they actually bought a house up there and have kind of been burning it at both ends, trying to move everything up there. And so Steve won't be here this week or next week. And just wanted to tell everybody that Matt Gallagher jumped up on pretty short notice. On Friday, I texted him and asked him if he'd fill in, and he was willing to do that. And so we're very thankful to Matt and look forward to hearing what he has, his message this morning. So let's continue our worship.
All right, if you could stand and sing with me.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we, the redeemed, shall be strong in purpose and in unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. God, forever and ever. Be to our God, forever and ever. Be to our God, forever and ever. Amen. Be to our God, forever and ever. Be to our God, forever and ever. Be to our God, forever and ever. Amen.
All right, please be seated. As we prepare for communion, we want to focus on sharing the Lord together, on remembering why what he gave us, that precious gift of life.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. We are now a family, of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. Come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord.
Amen.
Good morning, church. If you don't have one of the cups that has the bread and the grape juice, please raise your hand. I'm sure we will get one for you. Ava, do you have yours? Okay, good. So we got a dog. Does everyone know we got a dog? Great. I'll tell you all that we got a dog. So back in August, I picked up the girls on a Friday and we had some time. Sarah's still working and I'm like, I'm going to surprise them just to go to the shelter to walk some dogs. You know, it's a good volunteer service, you know, just to hang out with some dogs. That's all we're going to do. We're going to walk a dog. Nothing else. We're just going to walk the dog. So we end up going to the shelter, and the girls are surprised, and we walk through the kennels, and then we find this one dog that has orange hair. You know the end of the story, so don't ruin it, Virginia and Winnie. So we walk by the kennels, and we see this one dog that's kind of cowering, shaking, and everyone else is barking at us, right? They're like, I think everyone's anxious. All the dogs are anxious, but they reflect that in different ways. And so Virginia, I need to give her credit. She pointed to this one dog and said, this is the dog we need to go take for a walk. So we take that dog for a walk. Thank goodness that dog wasn't pulling on the leash.
He literally waited till we were walking him and did the, like, used the bathroom like five times on that walk around the shelter. So that was a good, back in my mind, I'm like, this is not a bad dog, right? But I don't want to settle. And so we go back and we walk another dog. That dog was awful. So it was like a night and day yin yang type of situation. We kind of knew what a good dog was and what a bad dog was. Like, not bad dog, but not the best dog. And so then we didn't adopt anything. We just, you know, wanted to sleep on it. And I ended up going home and telling Sarah about this dog. And then the next day, Sarah came with us to the shelter and walked that same dog. And Sarah was like, I think this is the one, right? Because we've been looking for a dog for a long time. But then, so we brought this dog home. I wish I had a photo of it. I was showing y'all. But Bevo is our dog, named after the University of Texas Longhorn mascot Bevo, because we're from Texas. Mountaineers, get over it. Sorry. But so we now have this dog. And what's cool about this dog is that he's very friendly. He's the best dog. But what's terrible about this dog, are y'all ready? He sheds like crazy. You know that he was there. His hair is all over our mattress, our navy blue comforter. It's covered. So I cover our bed with that so he can't get the hair underneath the sheets. So I'm like tickled at night, right? And also our hardwood floors, he like scrapes everywhere. But I know he's there. And I know that this house is now lived in by a dog. It's unmistakable with the way that he treats our house. He doesn't chew anything, he just scrapes it and it leaves his hair everywhere. And I was thinking like, man, if only that were us in a way. Whenever we walked around, whenever we left a trail, if we could leave a trail of how we acted in the world, of how we interacted with each other, I think that'd be very powerful. Not that we leave our hair everywhere and we could be like, ooh, Chris was here, right? Or actually Chris wasn't here, we don't know. Yeah, I think that'd be really neat, kind of a neat allegory that this dog or kind of sparked in my mind that I wish there was a way that we could lay down what we've done, how we've walked like Jesus, how we've acted like Jesus, how we've spoken like Jesus to those around us. And yeah, I think it's important that this is the place that we do that. This is the place where we go and tell each other, hey, that thing you posted really uplifted me. Hey, that thing, that phone call you gave me really gave me peace and gave me some confidence to face that day. I was having a struggle. So I think whenever you leave this place, leave that hair, scrape the hardwood floors wherever you go in a positive light. I think that's a good thought to have whenever you leave here. But what we're here right now to do is communion. We're here at the table. Imagine a big table. We all have a chair and we all have the ability to take out our bread and eat that bread that represents Jesus's body. The body that was pierced with the veil, pierced with the spear at the cross, that was given as a sacrifice for us. So that's why we are here during communion. That's why we take this piece of unleavened bread and we eat it. So let's go to God in prayer and pray for that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this bread. Thank you for the gift of your body. Thank you for the gift that you gave us that we did nothing to deserve. The only reason we deserve it, in quotations, is because we asked you we asked for it and you gave it to us. Everyone is able to accept that gift, Lord. Everyone is able to accept that gift into our heart, Lord. We are so thankful for that body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I prayed and I woke up and I opened my eyes and I'm missing a child. She'll be back. So now we pray for the blood. So the body, the bread represents the body, and yet the grape juice represents his blood that was shed on the cross that covers our sin continually. All you got to do is ask, and it's pretty simple. So let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blood that was shed for us. Let it continually forgive our sins, and let that not be a reminder that we can sin more, but rather let's act like you, Lord. And be like you, Jesus. Be more holy and be set apart, Lord. Let us be like you. Let us speak like you. Let us walk like you. Let us walk this world where people go, wow, that person reminds me of this person I've heard of, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And we're going to conclude this time with just a prayer over the monies that are raised today. I pray that the monies today don't go towards our selfish conceit as humans, but towards our community, towards God's heavenly kingdom here on earth, Lord. So let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the monies that we don't deserve. Thank you for giving us the talents that we have. Thank you for giving us the time to volunteer, to donate to your kingdom, Lord. Let your kingdom come, your will be done, not our own selfish conceit, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, kiddos, it's time for Sunday school. If we can stand and sing them out to class. How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears, and words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years, Lord, I would still run out of time. If you listen to my heart, every beat would say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love. So listen to our hearts.
Amen.
Part of me is still slightly hopeful that Steve's walks through that back door in the next 15 or 20 seconds. So like Chris said, this is kind of short notice, so I'm sure no one will be disappointed if it runs a little short compared to normal. But I appreciate the opportunity to still kind of give a sermon, right? I did it once before. And that was a little while ago, and the fact that they asked me again means that it couldn't have been too bad. So I wanted to talk about encouragement, specifically kind of stemming from Hebrews 10:24. So Hebrews 10:24 says, next page, says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Stir up is the word provoke, right? And it talks kind of about our attitude and the way that we approach things, right? I think we've probably all walked through a school and seen the cliche thing on the wall, phrase that attitude determines altitude. You know, our attitude can determine much of what we do and in the way in which we act. Psychologist Carol Dweck coined the term growth mindset that says abilities, intelligence, what we would often called talent can be developed through effort, through learning, and through persistence. And we kind of know that our attitude makes a difference, right? In a 2001 study by Harker and Keltner, individuals who had a genuine smile in a college yearbook were considered 20 years later to be perceived as more likable. We know from a similar study that continuous negativity in venting, while it may kind of provide temporary relief and validation for the complainer, it generally makes the listener and the complainer feel worse in the long run, right? The behavior often results in avoiding chronic complainers, and they tend to, you know, lose their social circle. They tend to lose friends. And so when we talk about attitude, we know it makes a difference, but what exactly do we mean? A couple definitions talked about it in a way of a settled way of thinking or feeling about something or someone. Some of the definitions reflect a change in someone's behavior, but I think my favorite was, and I think the best, was an orientation of the body proper, right? Meaning the best position of the holistic person, mind, body, soul, correctly aligned towards something, ensuring that a body is balanced and stable, minimizing strain and maximizing efficiency in movement towards something. And so part of my thought is, what exactly does the Bible say our attitude should be, right? What should we be orienting ourselves towards? And so the Bible gives us a couple attitudes that we should pursue. In John 13, 34 through 35, the Bible tells us that we should have an attitude of love. Speaking to the disciples in the night of the Passover, Jesus tells his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples." And so we have this commandment to love, an orientation towards love. The same is true of compassion. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for this you were called." And in these verses, we are told that love and compassion are not just simply ways of thinking or feeling, but that they are commandments and attitudes and positions to which we should orient ourselves. In addition to love and compassion, and kind of the purpose of this, God commands us to have an attitude of encouragement. We will be looking at passages that use the term encouragement and exhort. He's a little wild this morning. That's all right, because Sarah does a great job of handling him. So to encourage means to strengthen or to help, and exhort means to urge to good deeds. And so when I'd like to look at a couple examples, the first example being that of Moses and Joshua in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 3:28 says, you'll remember that in Deuteronomy 3, Moses disobeys God at Meribah, and God told Moses, "Speak to the rock," but Moses struck it twice. So instead, because Moses didn't trust God enough to honor his request, God forbid Moses from entering the Holy Land, and said instead that Joshua would lead them. So Deuteronomy 3:28, starting in 27, "Go up to Pisgah and lift your eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and look at it with your eyes, for you shall not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he shall go at the head of this people, and he shall put them in possession of the land that you see." And so Moses was to encourage Joshua because Joshua was going to lead Israel. God did not want Moses to tear down Joshua and to discourage him from leading the people. And we see that Moses' encouragement does have an effect on Joshua. And as we'll see in our next example, that the encouragement given by leaders and given by others affects people's spiritual lives. 2 Chronicles 35, chapter 2, talks about King Josiah. And in 2 Chronicles 34, the story is that King Josiah finds the Old Testament law hidden at a temple wall after it had been lost, and uses it to reform their religious practices and return to worshiping, return to true worship of God. And so in 2 Chronicles 35, we read, and he said to the Levites who taught all Israel and who were holy to the Lord, he appointed the priests to their offices and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. Josiah encourages these priests because the encouragement is significant because it's a reflection of Josiah's complete attitude change from previously, before the law. It is a reorientation towards God. To encourage the population to worship God and to encourage his priests to continue in implementing the requirements and duties of the law, he encourages them to continue in what he knows is good and just and has a profound effect on the entire nation. Our third and main example that I wanted to talk about most, which I expect most of you know is coming, is that of a man called Barnabas. In Acts 4:36, we read of Barnabas. Thus Joseph, who was called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And so that's the first we hear of him, but we also hear of him quite regularly. We hear of him in Acts 9, 26 and 27. when Saul comes to Jerusalem. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. They were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he, being Saul, had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. And we see that Barnabas was an encouraging man who contributed to the early church there in Jerusalem by selling what he had and giving it to the church. We see his actions in taking Saul in when Saul, a recent convert, wanted to approach the other apostles. Barnabas was the only one who was not so scared of Saul. He was the only one who supported him. And we again read of Barnabas in Acts 11, 21 to 24, where Barnabas exhorts those or urges them to do good works in Antioch. Starting in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them to all remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. And so Barnabas, his exhortation of the church in Antioch helps solidify one of the very first and really main center of a non-Jewish Christianity, right? A Christianity that was, let me rephrase, a first Gentile majority church. Right. He had participated in the Jewish church in Jerusalem, but Antioch was one of the first congregations that was mostly Gentile. And so his actions solidify that church. And we read a great deal of other attributes about Barnabas. He carried relief to Jerusalem. He travels with Paul. He is very highly regarded by the apostles and by Paul. But Barnabas isn't a world-renowned orator. He's not a debater. He doesn't leave behind any writings or legacy of his overpowering intellectual mind. He doesn't give millions of dollars away. Instead, Barnabas was an encourager and had one of the single largest impacts in the early church, especially the Gentile church, all because he was intent on strengthening others and urging them to do good. And so back to our verse, Hebrews 10, in Hebrews 10. The word provoke means to stir up. Some of your translations simply say stir up. And so when we consider that we have this ability to provoke emotions in others, we know Ephesians 4 tells fathers not to provoke wrath in your children, right? Hebrews 10, 34 tells us that we can provoke others to stir them up to love and good works. We should consider that we have the ability to affect the demeanor and the attitude of others, whether or not they view church with a hopeful attitude or a despairing attitude. But we are called to encourage as a commandment. Peter was commanded to strengthen the other apostles in Luke 22:31. Peter was commanded to strengthen the other apostles in Luke 22. After Jesus says, Peter, Satan has come for you to sift you like wheat. Once he has you and you deny me, afterwards come back and strengthen your brothers. Paul writes to Timothy that Timothy should give attendance to exhortation in 1 Timothy 4:13. To give attendance means to suggest a level of dedication and diligence, prioritizing something and making it a central part of someone's responsibilities. Paul writes to Timothy to teach and exhort as well in 1 Timothy 6:2. And the author of Hebrews tells us to exhort one another daily. And so when we think of why is this important, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 that our exhortation and encouragement can help keep others out of sin, that we might contend for the faith in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. I charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So we're told it's important for us to encourage others so that we keep others out of sin, so that we might contend for the faith and give a defense of it. And additionally, finally, to walk in a way pleasing to God in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. And so putting this together, I have kind of considered heavily the last month or two since Steve's lesson on how the old nation of Israel was to be a blessing for all in the world, not a curse, and that Christians are to continue to do that as well. And so the Bible emphasizes the importance of the practice and attitude of encouragement, not merely is a feeling, but it is a habit. And so we are to be encouragers because we are to fulfill the role that God has for us, to show the world God and bless it through living as we, the church, should. And so I hope as we close out this morning, we can ask ourselves the question, do we encourage others enough, or are we more likely to criticize? How will you be remembered by people? Will we be remembered like Barnabas as an encourager, or a discourager? And do people call us in times of trouble and sadness? And so we're commanded to be encouraging, to exhort, to strengthen. And so as we finish up here this morning and as we leave, let us, as Paul encourages Timothy, to give attendance to encouraging those that we encounter, particularly here in the church. And so we'll have an invitation song that will make time for anyone, should they choose to come up and ask for prayers of the church or speak with the elders. Thanks.
All right, please stand and sing with us. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Amen.
I want to thank Matt. It's very encouraging. So, let's close our service in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this time together. We thank you for our church family here. And we thank you for the message this morning. And in a world where there is a tremendous amount of sadness, a lot of challenges, complexities, plain discouragement. It's actually a very draining and empty world that we live in. And Father, the one thing that we have that can give us peace is Jesus. And we just want to make sure that when we focus on Him, that allows us to be able to be an encouragement to others. the message that Jesus has, the love of Christ, allows us to be able to be an encouragement to all that we come in contact with. And Father, we just pray that when we leave this place, that we live a life that is an encouragement to others, to the world, to the people we work with, to the people we interact with in restaurants and stores and whatnot. And Father, to our family here, we know that there's so many people here that have difficulties in their lives, and there's sickness and just sadness and just the stresses of the world. And we just pray that we can be cognizant, be involved in each other's lives, and be aware of each other's needs, and love and support each other. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.